picks up, although it's almost a word. Let's put it. I tried to use it in class, and my students couldn't hear except a few near me. I have another better one at home. Wanted to have one here and one there.
All right.
What are your questions?
Okay, well, let's start off with a little background information about you. Could you state your full name and then your date and place of birth?
My name is Lillian Falk, and that's my full name. Dr. Lillian Falk makes it even more full. My date of birth? 1933. My birthday is April the 2nd.
And where were you born?
I was born in Poland, in Warsaw.
Oh, yeah. Could you describe your educational background?
Well, my most recent degree with which I came to St. Mary's is my PhD from Harvard, 1963. Before that, of course, I had to do my master's, and before that, my undergraduate. My master's in linguistics, in general linguistics, is from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And before that, the bachelor is also from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, 1954, in English. And in a Hebrew language as minor. English was my major, and Hebrew language, not literature, but language, was the minor.
Okay.
These are my degrees.
Right, how many years have you been associated with St. Mary's?
26.
See? And in what capacity were you first hired?
Oh, I believe I was first hired as a lecturer, which would be normal, even though I had a PhD at that time. And then I was promoted in the usual way to assistant professor, associate professor, and that's my rank at this point.
Okay, so how have the responsibilities of your position changed at the university over the years?
Why is there a question about change? I came as a teacher and I served as a teacher, so there were really no changes in that. I always had classrooms I was responsible for, and I was responsible for teaching my students, marking their papers, giving them grades at the end of the year, and that has never changed.
Any changes in the courses that you?
Oh, the courses, of course. The titles of courses were different. I, by no means did I teach just one course over the years. There were new courses, there were different courses from year to year when they were being introduced, either sometimes designed by myself and sometimes by the department in general. So in that sense, certainly one doesn't just repeat the same work. Yeah.
Okay. So over the years, the size of the university has grown a great deal. What effect do you think that's had?
On the students, it's really difficult for me to say. I don't know how a student feels. It's not the same student who came in 68 to a small university and the one who comes now to a bigger university. The students who come now still can think of it as a small university, just compare it with British Columbia, Toronto. So things being relative, it can seem a very big and formidable place to the student then and now. And then again, it can seem smaller, or thankfully smaller. Or we have students who come from another place just because it was too big, and they transfer and they find this much more reassuring, and they find that they get to know people and they get to know their professors, which they didn't in their other place. So it's relative. It's small or big depending on where the student comes from and how far away the student is from home and so on.
How have the sizes of your classes changed? Has the number of students that you're responsible for changed?
There have been fluctuations. I do remember that I started, my course was a new one, and I started with a class of 7 or 8 students in 1968. This is very true. But then the structure of classes changed, and I have had classes as large as over 100 in one room. I've had classes typically of 35 or 40 in introductory courses, and the biggest one, I suppose, was 85 or so in my advanced course. And I've had every kind of size in between as well.
Mm-hmm. So you've noticed no general trend over the years?
Well, I can't say that they keep just growing, because if that was the fact, I would now have classes of 1,000, which is not the case. So they're also limited by the space in the classrooms and other factors.
Do you find that your relationship with your students has changed at all over time?
I can't say that.
Okay.
I was still available to the students, even when the numbers were larger, and I would speak to them and communicate about any problems that I could see about their work. I don't think that has changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about your fellow staff members? Has there been any change in your department and that you've noticed around the university in terms of gender and age and ethnic origin of your colleagues?
I wish I understood what lies behind these questions.
Nothing wrong.
I don't see what has changed. I mean, the group and the staff, there was always a variety. There were always people, well, there are only two genders, so no more than two. There were always people from a variety of countries by origin, always people of a different mother tongue than English, as is the case still now. There were certainly people born elsewhere. There were great ethnic variety. And sometimes when that question is asked, perhaps what's behind it is a question, as a staff in a university, which is a Nova Scotia university, do we have representation of Nova Scotians who are not Caucasian? And that would be Mi'kmaq or Black population of Nova Scotia. And I think that either these are very few or I have not met them. So these people are still missing. But that is not to say that the ethnic, in other senses, that the ethnic composition is not very highly varied and pleasantly so. So we have friends from all sorts of places and all kinds of backgrounds.
I'm really looking for nothing in particular. No. Just trying to get any comments that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. The school became officially co-educational in 1968.
Yes.
What was that change?
That was the second
like?
Year of my teaching here. Mm-hmm. What was it like?
Yes.
It was kind of exciting. It was. I looked forward to it in anticipation. I was curious what would happen. I was wondering whether I'll have suddenly more women than men, or whether it'll still be more men than women. And I've never ceased to wonder, because I don't know any statistics, how come they're always half and half? Any classroom that you enter is half and half?
Mm-hmm.
I know general populations half and half, but that doesn't mean that they register half and half. That's how it always is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that was very nice. It was nice to be here when it changed.
Mm-hmm. Around the same time, the school was becoming secular and the Jesuit fathers were losing control of the university. What type of effect did that have on the school?
Just made it more similar to other schools that don't have a particular religious identity. But I think inside and within the school, the services of the Catholic chaplains have always been available. They still are. There are centers for various Bible studies and Christian discussion. So I think that for the students who are seeking that or who came because their uncles and grandfathers had been students at a Catholic university because they wanted to be a in a Catholic university, I think the grandsons or granddaughters now can still come for the same reason. They can still get that, obtain that background that they're looking for it, mm-hmm. both among students and with faculty. And of course with the chaplaincy. So, well again, I was not acquainted with the university for a great number of years when it was under Jesuit, but sufficiently to think that it's still there if you want it. And it's for the general student who's not interested in it, well, a student doesn't need to get involved, but neither did they when it was a Jesuit school. It was still open to every faith, and there was never any pressure for students to participate in particular religious ceremonies. Never.
Okay. Unionization of faculty employees took place in the mid-70s. Did that have any effect on the faculty?
Well, yes, it was inevitable. The school was becoming big enough. A school, any institution cannot run itself without clear guidelines as to how business is conducted, how contracts are written. Before that, the contracts were negotiated, I believe, individually, and people had the most unequal conditions depending on what went on when they were negotiating their contracts. So this is essential. This is it would be a great anomaly if this university did not have it, seems. And what effect it might have? Well, I suppose that the effect would be that faculty members receive a certain kind of peace of mind that they can certain things are negotiated for the group as a whole, so they didn't have to worry that individually they obtained a bad contract because the contract was now general. Mm-hmm. So certainly this was, this was just essential. I can't imagine a university working without that. I sometimes hear of institutions where there is no union or the institutions don't permit a union, and that seems to me a dreadful situation.
Okay, from the time you were here in the 60s, how have the academic programs changed? For instance, what type of courses were offered when you first came? What type of courses were required?
Luckily, I have with me the calendar for the year in which I came, or rather the year just before I came. And the, in English, we had a smaller number of courses, fewer pages. That's just two pages of courses. Now we have far more, and I think now also I should have counted them before you. Now the English courses, and I'm from page 86, last year's calendar. 92, 93, 86, 87, 88, 89, and that's two columns of courses. In 67, 68, it was from page 72 and 73, and then there's only half page, so it's two pages of English courses. The basic ones remained. I think that we could identify the ones that disappeared. Introduction to Literature, we have pre-romantic, romantic, we still have romantic, Victorian, there will always be a Victorian age. Introduction to Modern Poetry, we have modern novella here. Modern Poetry is certainly still taught. There is 17th century, there's neoclassicism. Sometimes they have a different title. They're all core courses. They still exist. Certainly Middle English with Chaucer. Elizabethan drama, novel, 19th century novel, literary criticism. There's one that I don't see by its title anymore, and that's called Ultimate Concern in the Modern Novel. We don't have that course under that title, but we still have concerns in our courses. And 101 has been renumbered 201. It's still an introductory course to literature. So we are on the question as to what has changed in courses. So, well, something must explain the greater number of courses, right? So, and if we're looking really for something strikingly different or something that was absent, then it would be, let me start with myself. I introduced the course on History of the English Language. You see, it wasn't there in 67. This was a course which I introduced, and it was on the has been on the calendar all those years, and I taught it in alternate years. And this is actually why I was hired to do that kind of job, the linguistic aspect of English. Another one that wasn't there in the old one specific course for English language and grammar, and one is called Modern English Language in Canada, that's mine, and Modern English Language, which was grammar, that these were mine. Then to go through a sampling of those that weren't there then, Introduction to Folklore was not there then. Writing by Women was not there. The Writer and Nature was not there. That's new. Children's literature, Irish literature, creative writing. So that gives a, perhaps doesn't mention all of them, but it gives some mention, at least, of courses which were not taught in 67, 68. Scottish literary tradition, Irish again. Biography and autobiography. So yes, there is a greater variety, understandably, but also the number of professors in English is greater now, and so we have more resources.
How many English professors approximately would you have in your first year?
We're near 20 usually.
You're 20 which now?
Just near 20, I think.
How about in
67? I don't have a list here at the top, so I can't tell you offhand, but it would be fewer, say about half of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see. Okay, let's talk about the your perceptions about the student population. Well, of course, in the 60s, it's changed over and became 50% male, 50% female. Have you noticed any other changes in terms of the age of your students, maybe? Or
possibly there are more, greater numbers of mature students on campus, and certainly the facilities have opened for them in a much better way than they were then. But I've been usually teaching morning courses, and that does not attract the mature students. So I just had a few from time to time in my classes together with the others. I think that they are a little older now. I asked my students to introduce themselves at the beginning of last introductory course, and I was actually surprised to see such figures as 25-year-old, 28-year-old, which would not be the case when I came. I think they were younger on the average. That's all I know about the age.
Okay. Have you noticed any shifts as far as ethnic origins of your students concerned?
Well, I'm missing some. We used to have Chinese students from China, and they're certainly not coming in the kind of numbers they used to come. And from the Caribbean, they don't come as they used to come, and there must be financial and economic reasons for that. But these students were more visible, more presence in our school. We do have people from China, from the People's Republic, but they're different. They are usually adults already involved in their professions, and as teachers. Actually, quite often they are teachers, and they are just very few, and they are sponsored by the government. So it's not the kind of much larger groups who are supported by their family, mm-hmm. and I don't see them as much.
Okay. So what do you think students have wished to gain from their educational experience at St. Mary's? Do you think that's changed over the years?
I don't think so. That such things are better evaluated, I suppose, by surveys and statistics, if people are asked why they're coming or what they're looking for. But usually it is a way to either a profession later on, or professional school, or some kind of training. It is a way to the labor market. It is a preparation for taking up degree in education or degree in the medical professions or whatever it is. I suppose in the Faculty of Commerce, people come out with degrees which prepare them for specific work. But when they take arts, they still have to do other things. So it's just, if people come straight from high school, this way they're making sure that they're not giving up on their chances, that they're just beginning to explore their what they can do in the future. So they come literally to get their education, and that's what I see them doing. I see them in their first year when they have all those plans and hopes. Also, usually in the first year, so many students say they don't know what they're majoring. They have to look around. So it isn't as if they were coming with a complete career plan all written out. They're really coming because they've finished high school, and they don't want to stop there. They want to make sure that they are open to other to the options that can suit them. So they've got to keep studying. And I think that's why they're here.
Okay, that's about all the topics that I wanted to cover. Is there anything you can think that you'd like to add?
You tell me now again about the purpose of this project, and maybe I can fill in on something that wasn't covered in a question.
Okay. Well, really, see, all the statistical material is readily available. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to figure out what courses were offered when, where the students were mm-hmm. coming, all those type of things. Mm-hmm. But when you write a history, it's kind of a skeleton if you just use statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you interview a wide range of people and get their perspectives, not necessarily the right or wrong answers, but their perspectives about what was going on over time and changes that they perceived over time, you can really paint a much more accurate picture of what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, for that, I suppose it would be nice. This doesn't seem to lead to any anecdotal experiences. I think that what I could add, although that I find just would be erased from the tapes because it's not relevant, was that it was a very pleasant and friendly place in 67-68 in ways that perhaps is still true, but it's difficult to maintain it with such a larger number of faculty members. And when the entire faculty was smaller, there were annual parties at Christmas and other times for the entire faculty, with excellent food, a very jolly and pleasant atmosphere created by the Jesuits, who have very nice social skills that not everybody has. And that is something that I think can exist in a school with an old tradition and with a relatively small numbers. And I don't think that it can be replicated now with the great numbers of faculty that we have. One thing that was very nice.
Do Do you do anything like that just in your department now?
Oh, yeah, the department gets together, of course. But that was for the whole university, and that was nice. There was an active and still is Faculty Women's Association, and that was open to a membership of, at that time, it was any women who were on the faculty, teachers, any women who were wives of faculty members, and I don't know, any other relationship that I may have been in. And it was a very friendly group that still exists. It has formed some other activities. There are instructions in watercolor, instruction in watercolor lessons that these members can participate in at a fee. Some other going together to art gallery openings here on campus, and going together to the when the Drama Society has presentations. So that exists from those times. Why am I talking about this? But it was nice to be received by that group when I arrived. As for women, I don't think that you really have a question about that, but when I started teaching, it was a men's school exclusively. I actually, when I applied, I didn't know whether it was all right to apply, because I didn't know, I wasn't acquainted with St. Mary's. I didn't know whether they had women faculty members, but it turned out that they did. So when this was a exclusively male school, there were women teachers. Not everybody knows that. So there's actually absolutely no problem about that. Mm-hmm. As contrasted, for instance, with some departments at Dalhousie, which, although there was no written policy like that, there were heads of departments that absolutely refused to consider a woman's candidacy. The English department at Dalhousie at that time was like that. In many ways, under the Jesuit rule at that time, it was a very progressive place and very open. What I think can we think of? The Jesuits were very available. Father Hennessy, as the history of St. Mary's will reveal at every turn, had his office. Well, it must have moved from one place to another, but eventually it was in the office where now, who is there now? It is the last office before entering the connecting corridor to Loyola on the right. But there he was. Any student could walk and did to talk to him about any problem whatsoever that they had. These were and when people like myself and I've been invited to a group of people who call themselves the Quarter Century, not that was mine, I think, Quarter Century Club, that's people who've been here that long. So people start recalling things. And that's killed. And I don't know whether it's John Reed, you said, is in charge of this project.
Yeah.
I think that in addition to whatever individual interviews he has planned, he might talk to the Quarter Century Club and come for send somebody for a group reminiscences. That'd be a good idea. Because once we get started, people always remember something. Do you remember such and such? Do you remember such and such? Do you remember what he used to do? Do you remember what he used to say in class or what she used to do in class? And then it all comes out. Whereas for just individually, it's hard for me to kind of spot the kind of thing that might be interesting for the project.
Yes.
So I think these are my memories, such as they are at the moment.
That's great.